Hebrews chapter 4. And I'll say this, it's been good for me to be in the house of the Lord tonight already. I appreciate everything that we've heard and what we felt and what the Lord's been doing for us. And you got your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 4, you stand with us if you're able to. We'll give reverence reading of the Word of God. And I'm not going to preach anything new tonight. I'm not going to preach out of a text that probably most of you can't. You can probably quote it with me, but that's all right. It's in the Bible. It's recorded forever, and God put it there to preach on it. Amen. Bible says this in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll start in verse 12. Don't have nothing to do with the message, but I like it, so we'll start there. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Chapter 5, verse 1. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight, and the Lord, we're so thankful to get to be here. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we felt in our heart. I thank you for every good song that was sung tonight. I'm glad that, Lord, that we do understand this world is not our home, Lord. We're just simply passing through. God, I thank you, and Lord, that just like the old saints in chapter 11 of Hebrews, God, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker's God. I pray for a few minutes of time tonight that God should give us good liberty to preach the Word of God. I pray, God, you'd give us unction and anointing. Help us, Lord, not to say anything that'd be dumb or foolish or out of the way. But, oh, God, I pray tonight that God, you'd help us to say just exactly what's in the text. I pray, God, I'm looking for you tonight to do some great things in our church. And, God, if they'll be done, it'll be done because you've done it and nobody else. Lord, we love you tonight. I thank you for everything you've done. In Christ's name, for his sake alone, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily. Again, everybody probably, no doubt, understands the theme of the book of Hebrews. I've made mention of it several times in the last several weeks. But when you come to the book of Hebrews, what you find is it takes some folk, and they just about half in and half out. And the Apostle Paul is writing to them, encouraging them. It's not even just, listen, here's what he does. He makes a comparison. But as he makes the comparison, he just points out that the Lord Jesus Christ is so much better than anything out there. Amen. And so he goes back and forth through the entirety of this letter. And all he's doing over and over is reminding them how much better the Lord Jesus Christ is. I know we preach on that all night. But in chapter 4, verse 14, this is what it said. It said, "Seeing then, and we have a great high priest." And boy, I got to looking at that, and I got to thinking, thank God. I'm sure glad for my high priest. Amen. I got to want to preach on this all tonight. On what do we have here? Amen. What do we have here? I want to say this to you, friend. I'm persuaded that probably all of us have lived well below our means in Christ Jesus. I have no doubt in my mind about that. And I got to thinking about it. I believe this with all my heart. If it was, and God maybe one day would reveal it to me, or reveal it to us, I have little doubt in my mind that
that most of us walk around like we're overdrawn at the bank. But instead, we've got access to Fort Knox. Amen. I got thinking about this. The way we live, it's a lot of times we live like we're homeless. But in our back pocket is a deed to the Biltmore Mansion. Amen. That don't even make sense, thank God. I got thinking about the way a lot of Christians live. And whenever they start thinking about their high priest, and he's just a spare tire, and just somebody else to go over there. But you understand that God has given us access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll tell you what it'd be like. It'd be like sitting out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and looking for a drop of water and being surrounded by it on every side. I'm saying this. Thank God I don't know what you're facing tonight. But I'll tell you, verse 14, that sort of just sums it all up. It says, seeing then, amen, and we have such a great high priest. Here's what he's saying. I don't know what's over here, but have you taken a look at him, amen? I don't know where you're at, but I know what he's doing. I want you to notice here a few things. In this text I'll give you, that's somewhere between 3 and 15 things, and we'll go to house. And notice the Bible says this. He said, seeing then what we have, a great high priest. Thank God, look here, friend. And not just on this earth, but it said that's passed into the heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. He said, let us hold fast our profession. And verse 15, I want you to notice this passage and know what he said. He said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. I thought about this the first day. And what we have here is we have the ability to approach our priest. You understand that what he's saying and what he is deriving as he's going back to what it looked like with Aaron. And I got to thinking about, listen, and no doubt in my mind, Aaron was probably a pretty good man. But I'll say this to you, friend, you couldn't touch him and he couldn't touch you. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, no doubt. On Leviticus chapter 16, it was the Day of Atonement. And whenever old Aaron went in that place, and when he walked into the holy place, he took off his outer garment, put on his linen breeches, and when he done that dug, flesh couldn't touch him. He was considered completely consecrated unto God, and you couldn't touch him. And thank God, listen, if you had an infirmity, he couldn't touch you either. Amen. But what a thousand wonders at the God we serve. And yet he's so far away, he's so close at the same time. Amen. Thank God, listen, I don't even understand. Other than to tell you this, he occupies all space and he does it at all time. Amen. And so at the same time as they sang that song that he's sitting on the throne, he's still right down on the inside of my heart. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad I don't have to make a long distance call. Hey, ain't no call and collect. I'm glad, thank God, when I bow my head and I say, dear God. And you say, preacher, I don't always feel it. It don't make no difference what I feel. Amen. Boy, I shout a while on that one. Amen. It doesn't matter what I feel. That feeling got nothing to do with praying by faith. And now look here, friend. I'll tell you this, I sure am thankful. I'm glad for those times. And when you get a hold of the horns of the altar and the presence of God comes down and he saturates the place, and tears start flowing and moans and groans start coming out, and you know you've been in the presence. But I want to tell you this, whether that happens or not, I'm still in the presence. Amen. Thank God, you better believe it. And you say, how do you know? Because he said so. Amen. I'll tell you this, I'm going to trust him over my feelings any day. Amen. Oh yes, dear friend, I thought about a few things. I just got to thinking about folks touching the Lord. You ever glad that thank God that you was able to touch God? Amen. Listen, thank God, you hear me say it a lot. But they, some people won't even let you touch them. But thank God, I'm glad the Lord wasn't that way. I'm glad he was able. I start thinking about a few people he touches in Scripture that nobody else would touch. Hey, you can look in Luke chapter number 5. Find there's a day he touched the untouchable. You understand, Aaron could not touch a man with leprosy. If he had touched him with leprosy, leprosy. And the Bible teaches us that Aaron would have been unclean. But that's not what happened when the Lord done it. Amen. And the Lord walks over there. And thank God, Luke chapter number 5. This fella's got a little covering over his lip. He's saying unclean, unclean. And usually what happens about that time is when he says unclean, everybody else goes the other way. But instead, this time, he came in contact with a better high priest. And when he came in contact with a better high priest, he didn't run the other way. He just said, come on over here. Amen. Thank God. And you know them old, everybody standing around and they're watching him say it. I wonder what he's about to do. And when he takes out that hand, and now Jordan, it's one thing. Whenever he spoke to the lepers and they was healed, that's another thing, thank God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ have reached out that hand, Brother Bobby, I got thinking about this. I'll tell you what blesses my heart. That touch right there, Nathaniel, that was probably the first touch he had felt since the day he had leprosy. And nobody else would touch him. Thank God he hadn't felt the hands, a good warm hand on his body. Hadn't felt nothing touch him. Everybody had been repulsed by him. But boy, on that day, the God of heaven had reached out his hand and laid a hold on him. Thank God. Amen. I mean, look here, friend. Can you imagine what it must have done for his soul when it was not a priest out of the sight of Aaron, when it wasn't an old Sadducee or a Pharisee, but when it was God in the flesh? Thank God laid his hands on it. You say, preacher, how come Jesus wasn't unclean? Jesus can't be unclean. Amen. Hey, praise God. Amen. And that's what makes it so good. Hey, listen, I'll tell you how high and holy he is, Ty. He's so high and holy that any time somebody unclean touches him, he don't get unclean. They become clean. Amen. Thank God. And you say, what is that? They call it reverse osmosis. Whenever it's water. But I'll tell you what it is with Christ. It's reverse virtue. Amen. They get a hold of him. Boy, and the virtue only flows. It only flows one way. It flows out from him to whoever touches it. Boy, I feel like preaching a while right there. Amen. I mean, look here, friend. And no doubt whenever he touched him, they all looked around and said, I wouldn't have touched him. You didn't have to tell nobody. We all knew that. Amen. We all knew how you felt. How about them old sinners? But boy, I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad religion didn't stop him. I'm glad tradition didn't stop him. I'm glad disease didn't stop him. I'm glad when he saw somebody that was untouchable, Christ just approached him and touched him anyhow. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I thought about how he touched the untouchable. But then I tell you another person I thought about, how that he touched that Aaron couldn't have never touched. At Mark chapter 5, he touched the untreatable. Boy, that old woman with the issue of blood. I mean, listen, I tell you what, I can't wait to meet her in heaven one day. I've thought so much, Jess, about her story. There's so much in that thing that I can't even wrap my mind all the way around. But that woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, best I remember. Boy, for 12 years in that place, had just cut off from everybody as long as the blood was flowing. Listen, she was unclean. The Bible says in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 15, and that because of that, she couldn't come into the temple. I couldn't touch the high priest. Everywhere she went and everybody she touched, all was unclean. But boy, there was a day, thank God, after she had spent all she had, thank God, she said, I'll tell you what, I said, if I could but, I'd touch the hem of his garment. Boy, listen, some of you ain't been with me long enough to remember this, but the Holy Ghost put this in my heart probably 4 or 5 years ago. I'll tell you how long ago it's been. Brother Mitchell was here when I preached on, if you remember. That boy's standing up there. I mean, listen, I can feel you touch my flesh, but you can touch my coat all day long and I'll never feel it. But boy, what about a God in heaven? Hey, I'll tell you, thank God. God, thank God. What about a God in heaven? How that, listen, I'll tell you this. He felt her touch before she even touched him. Amen. Ain't that right? And listen, thank God she didn't touch his flesh with her fingers, but she touched his heart with faith. Amen. And when she came out and reached forth and laid a hold of that hem, had nobody else seen the touch, had nobody else felt the touch, everybody else would have been unclean by it, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. He just said, oh, he said, somebody touched me. And that crowd looked around, they said, what do you mean somebody touched you? Said, there's a whole crowd thronging you. He said, everybody here's touching you. He said, oh no, everybody here's rubbed up against me. But there's only one person touched me, amen. I'm about to run, amen. What a blessing that it is. I'll tell you what makes it good. That's I remember the night, amen. I don't know who else was there. But I remember when God had got real in my heart. And I reached out by faith and I touched him, amen. Oh, yes. I remember it. Oh, thank God. There's a lot of things in that story I wish that God give me some time liberty to preach on. But boy, that is a lot more happening in that story, I think. But now listen, friend. For 12 years again, nobody, Randy. Ain't nobody wanted with the inside of her. I'd see her coming. I look here, Brother Nathaniel. If they'd have known that she was there and that she was making everybody unclean, they'd have drug her out of the town and stoned her dead. But instead of getting stoned, she at the rock of her salvation. Amen. Praise God. What about that, neighbor? I mean, listen, came in contact with the stone which the builders rejected. He said, I got a better plan. Amen. He said, woman, I faith. He said, well, if that be whole, boy, she left in faith. I'm saying this, listen, we've got a better high priest. I can approach it. I can touch him. Amen. I thought about this. Listen to me, friend. I thought about he'd even let folks in was I'm tolerated touchy, amen. I preach on this. There's a few things that I think people say that they should break out. Hey, some things I'll not preach on, but I'm going to tell you this. About every chance God will let me, I'm going to preach on the rapture, amen. I mean, just about every chance. I'll work it in, thank God, when I'm preaching on the law, if I can preach on the rapture, amen. But now listen, I want to say this. Another one I like to work in about every chance I can. That's Luke chapter number 7. I love that old sinner lady in that picture. And the Bible said that old Simon the Pharisee stepped back and he said, if he only knew what manner of woman it is that's touching him, amen. You know what, friend? You know why he even came to the house that day? That's so that little old sinner woman could touch him. I mean, what a blessing, amen. That got a whole house full of people and you know they're dignified, amen. I mean, their ties are straight. Thank God their robes was long. Their phylacteries was broad. And they're sitting in that place, but and they're not interested in touching the Lord. Amen. And they said, I don't know why the Lord would ever let somebody like that lady there touch him. I don't know why God would tolerate that. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know why God tolerate us. Amen. Somebody ought to help me right there. Smile at me on it at least. Amen. I mean, the very fact that God would let us come into this place and even step back and say, thank God because he loved me. It is well with my soul. And because he lives. And the very fact God even let us and worship him. And we ought to have to step back and tell everybody to hush, quit shouting, amen. I'm telling you, we realize what we deserve and what everybody knows about us and what we really are. And still God lets us worship, amen. Well, that's something, thank God. And you say, Brother Kevin, I'll tell you what. I'm just waiting for the best time. One of these days it's going to be right. You know the stars are going to line right and the moon's going to shine right. I'm going to get the best fuzzies in my stomach and the right then's when I'm going to worship the Lord. Well, I hope it works for you, man. But if I waited on that, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd preach about once every 5 years, amen. I'd just rear back and worship about once every 5 years. But I'll tell you what I found, Brother. Brother Chase, but I'll tell you what I found. I found this is the best way. Hey, you just purpose right here and right here you're going to worship and everything else will catch up, amen. Thank God. I believe that's right. That lady stood outside the house that day and she had to watch as everybody passed by and she had to watch as everybody's like, we know what you are, amen. Well, I'm telling you, I've tried to think, can Can you imagine standing in her place and just standing there while one person by another just walks by you and says, I'm not sure what you're doing here. I'm not sure what you're doing here. And when she gets done, she's not interested in doing nothing but the Bible says, as she washed his feet with the tears from her eyes. And as she let down that hair, boy, I'm telling you, he's a whole nother. I ain't got time, but I'd like to right there. I'll tell you what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. It said that a lady's hair is her glory. Amen. And they'd keep that thing put up until they met the right one. And when they met the right one, they got married, they'd let that thing down. And you know what she was saying that day? I met the right one. Amen. Hey, praise God. I just said, I'd met a lot of people before this. I've done a lot of messed up things. But I've only found one person worth giving glory to. Amen. And when she let that glory down and them tears started flowing, if it had been Aaron, she'd have been unclean. But because it was Jesus, he got blessed. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what he done for. He said, woman, though thy sins are many. And thank God they was. Amen. But bless God, she walked out of that place forgiven of them all. Amen. I thought about this. Listen, it touched the untouchable. It touched the untreatable. And we find he touched the intolerable. But he touched the unthinkable. Hey, you know what no priest would have ever done? He would have never touched a dead body. And Leviticus 21 forbids it. That lesson except for his own kin. But if he came up and touched a dead body, that's absolutely and explicitly forbidden in the scripture. But what about the Lord Jesus? I tell you, listen, hey, praise God. Listen, look here, neighbor. I might not get this out. We may stay on point one. Amen. But listen to me, friend. And whenever the Lord Jesus comes out there at Mark chapter number 5, hey, you remember there that it was Jairus' daughter that was sick unto death. And you remember what it said, Brother Jerry, when they came down there. And Brother Creston, it said, leave him alone. Amen. It said, she's dead. Amen. But the master, he said, well, he said, that's what they say. Amen. Ain't that good? He said, from man's perspective, it's dead. But from God's perspective, Clark, and she said, Lord looked at him and said, hey, he said, doubt not. He said, only believe. He said, this lady, she's just but sleeping. And I'll tell you what the Bible said. It said he walked in the room and they was all making a big ado. I like that word. As all said, oh, and she's dead. She's gone. She's gone. And the Lord said, get this crowd out of here. This crowd's hindering me. Thank God. I feel like that in a lot of Baptist churches. Amen. Thank God. I go preach that day. He's a fellow I'm getting ready to go back and preach for. And he told me one time, he said, listen, he said, we ain't got but about 8. He said, would you come over and hold revival for us for the 8 that comes? I said, let me ask you this. I said, is there at least 2 or 3? And he said, yeah. I said, is the Lord there? He said, yeah. I said, I'll be there. Amen. Thank God. Look here. I'm not interested in a crowd, but I'm interested in meeting with Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you what happens sometimes is for the crowd to get a little thinner sometimes. Amen. I'm not talking about y'all, I'm talking about other churches, all right? Amen. If that hurts you, you're probably who I'm talking to. Amen. And I'm not meaning it that way. I want you to understand. I'm just simply saying this. There was a crowd there that they was interested in making a do about what was, but they wasn't interested in touching him for what could be. Amen. And when he got that crowd out of there, the Bible said that he reached out and he took her by the hand. Amen. Touched her. Amen. I'm glad God touches dead people. There would have been a few more folks in here that's alive that you remember whenever God passed by your way when you was dead. Hey, thank God in you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. I say, thank God, amen. Hey, listen, friend, what do we have here? We got a priest that we can approach to. But then I thought about this. What we have here is a priest that we've got access to. And I want you to think about it. Everybody didn't have Aaron's ear. Aaron could only hear one at a time. Hey, listen, thank God, even if Aaron wanted to. According to Leviticus 21, he said that Aaron not come in the holy place at all times. tithe. He'll find that in verse number 2. Aaron only had access one time a year. That's all he could do. I mean, you could say, Brother Aaron, I want you to pray for me. When you get up here, I want you to plead the blood over that. He said, I will in 360 days from today. Boy, listen, you might get a hold of him. He'd say 180 days from today. He'd get out his little book, maybe like I did. He'd write it down, have a big long list. And this is what he'd say. He'd say, boy, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to make a reconciliation and one time a year. But what happened as soon as he walked out? And the look here, friend, and your wife ran off and left you as soon as he walked out. And one of your kids died. And you cursed, amen. And set up an idol and wanted to get right with God. And boy, you'd be in trouble then. But thank God, watch what your Bible said. He said in this place, verse 16, hey, three things here, God. This is really the meat of the message. That's where God just started stirring my heart. Watch this. Watch what he says. I hope you'll get this. I hope God will help me to get it to you, all right? This is how he starts the verse. He said, let us, amen. Boy, that two-letter word. He didn't say, let him. He didn't say, let them. He said, thank God, let us, amen. Up until this point, they had to go through a man. And it was, let's take it to him and let him try to get it to God. But old Paul said, no more, amen. I said, you ain't got to wait on them, thank God. You ain't got to wait on him. You can go whenever you want to, amen. You say, preacher, can I go? Are you in us, amen? Thank God. Amen. Are you us? Amen. I tell you, when he said let us, he's talking in this passage as he talks to Hebrews, folks that are fully convinced and folks that ain't all the way there. And he encourages all of them. He said let us. And therefore, thank God. I'm just saying this. I'm glad I'm not Aaron. I ain't got to wait on a day to go see God. Aren't you glad for that? Look here, I know some folks don't know this, but you ain't even got to be in church on a Sunday and a Wednesday. Hey, some folks, they'll say, boy, I sort of taught this, and I ain't trying to downplay nothing. I ain't even trying to be against nobody. I don't even have preached myself happy. Not I was happy before I started, amen. But I want to say this. Boy, there's folks that say, well, you know, whenever we leave, I know the Lord will still be in the church because that's where he stays. That's not right, amen. That don't work like that. Thank God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, know ye not, amen, that you're the temple of God. His body, this flesh, he lives and abides on the inside of us, amen. And so I want to say this. Thank God, these folks say, I can't wait to get back to the house of God on Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what I'd do if I was you. I just wouldn't wait, amen. I'd just go meet with God when I got home, amen. Maybe talk to him in the morning. I'll find out he's the same God and the same way and the same air. Just whenever you want to talk to it. He said, let us. I thought about this. Now listen. I mean, you start thinking about everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We didn't have no lineage like Aaron, and yet we can come. I thought about this. Listen, I ain't got no lineage, but I got a past. Amen. Listen, I don't care if y'all's with me or not. I'm preaching anyhow. I'm having a time. Look here, friend. I mean, you just walk up. You know everybody go down through the line. They might come to you and say, Randy, you know what? There's no patents. There's no patent that's ever been a priest. Amen. There's no Grace Clark ever been a priest. There's no England's ever been a priest. There's no Sextons or Potters. I never have read about a Coger being a priest. Amen. Thank God. In the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, amen, he hath made us priests unto our God. And so thank God I got a new garment. I've got new access. And you say, how do you know when to go? Have the Lord pretty well settled that up. At Matthew 27:51. And when he died on the cross, and the temple veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. You know what he's saying? And just come whenever you want. Amen. And you're welcome, thank God. Ain't that good? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to walk around like I'm homeless, got access to a 180,000 square foot home. That don't even make sense. We stand here and be like, oh God, I don't know if you can do that. I ain't praying to Aaron.
No, right.
Praying to the God of glory. One that just, man, I wish that it'd get settled in my heart. How's that? I'm saying this, now listen. First thing you find in this passage, he's access extended, it's to everybody. But then I like what he says next. He said, come boldly. Come boldly. Absolutely. Boy, you don't have to wait on man. I thought, I'm glad I ain't like the impotent man in John 5. I ain't waiting on the season. Amen. Say, well, I like it in the spring season. That's when I worship. Amen. I'll tell you what I thought about. I'm glad I ain't like King Saul. And I'm glad I ain't got to wait on a man. Amen. Oh, King Saul had to wait on Samuel. I mean, listen, I ain't got to wait on a man. I ain't got to wait on a day. I ain't got to wait on a season. I'm glad I'm not like the servants that's got to wait on the 50th year. Can you imagine that? Amen. I've been like, everybody going to be miserable 50 years. Amen. But boy, we're going to have one good service. Amen. Oh, listen, thank God. I'm glad. Listen there, friend. Hey, some folks ain't just sitting around and just waiting on the trumpet to sound and the year of Jubilee. Hey, but you ain't got to wait that long. You've got access to Christ right now. Amen. Right now. Right now. I mean, I'm talking about this moment. I can talk to God and stop talking to you. And He'll hear me. I know, listen, I better not get off. I'll trail off right there and mess up the whole thing. I'm saying this. What about, He said, let us therefore come boldly. Boy, and I like what Paul says next. Paul, master at words. Holy Ghost. He said, right here, I don't want you to write the throne of law. No. Oh, Aaron, when he, praise God. Are y'all getting that back yonder, amen? Oh, Aaron shows up. When he approaches God, he's approaching God at a throne of law. He's got to follow the law, and he's got the blood on the right tip of his ear and on his thumb and on his toe, and he's got the Urim and the Thummim, and he's got the miter on, and man, he's going in there with the bells around his ankles, and we don't know if he's going to live or die. He goes into that place in a very special way. But oh, listen here, dear friend. When he walked in there, if it wasn't right, I'll tell you what happened. He would get killed in the presence of God and drag his carcass out by the rope tied to his ankle. There's nobody much wanted to go in there. Exodus 19, everybody was running from God. But oh, what a blessing now. He says, don't go back to that. He said, do you know you've got a high priest and you ain't even got to go to the throne of law? And you can go to the throne of grace. Amen. You know why he said that? If he said right here, you can come meet the Lord, but this is the throne of law. You know what we'd all be afraid to do? I wouldn't. I don't want to fool with that much. No. But I'll tell you, when God says that's a throne of grace, you know what that means, Nathaniel? That means that when I show up there, that I can bring Him every sin in the world.
Oh, yes.
Every one of them.
Thank God.
All of them.
Yes, all of them.
I can bring the whole kit and caboodle. Come up there, you name it. Whatever it is. And I can come to the throne of grace. You say, I don't think that I'm allowed to bow down there. Well, I'll tell you what will happen if you do. You'll find out that where sin abounded, you know what He's doing? He's giving everybody liberty right there. That this is a place, no matter what state that you are in, you can come boldly. Amen. Oh, listen, I want to say this to you and I'll be done. What we have here is we got a high priest we can approach. And we've got a high priest that we can access. But I'll tell you why I like mine better than theirs. I've got a high priest that I can have assurance in. Amen. Donnie Neal, I get to reading about Aaron sometime. He is God's man and I know it. But I get to reading over there whenever they come down off the mount and Aaron's let them all out. Not a very good high priest that day. They're over here worshiping a golden calf. And Aaron's lying about it. That right? Aaron says one of the dumbest things you'll ever read in your Bible. Giving an explanation for his sin. He said, I don't know what happened. Said, they gave me gold. I put the gold in the fire. Out popped a calf. That's a lie. It's a lie. Calves don't pop out of the fire made of gold. Right? Amen. That's sort of like somebody saying, you know, I didn't mean to take that drink. That's a lie too. You said, I didn't mean to tell that lie. That's two lies. Amen. One you told and one you just tried to cover up with.
I got good news. Amen. When I come before Christ, He already knows where I stand. Amen. That's why I can talk to Him so good. Boy, I'll tell you why I like talking to the Lord. I'm about done, but you stay with me just for a minute. I'll tell you why I like talking about the Lord. One thing He settled in my heart, He already knows my thoughts. He says it. Says it. We're naked before Him. He already knows it. You just as well talk about it. Now, I can't talk to you hardly like that, and you can't hardly talk to me like that, because there's things I know about me that you don't, and I can't talk about them freely. You wouldn't like me. And if you talk to me about things in your life, I may not like you either. Say amen right there. Y'all know that's right. Y'all looking like, not me, preacher. That's three lies you've told tonight. Amen. But what a thousand wonders that we're standing here tonight. And the invitation from God is, I know where you are, I know what you are, and I still want to talk to you about it. Man, I'm telling you what. I've said things to the Lord in prayer, Brother Doug, that I'd be ashamed for you to even know about it. But I find such great joy in knowing when I bow my head and talk to Him, I can just talk to Him freely. Say, God, this is where I'm at. And there's three things that He says that'll happen. I never got this third one until this week. But first of all, you all know it. He says there's mercy. Well, I like that. Said that they might obtain mercy. He said, if you're guilty, there's mercy for it. You know what that means? That means the Lord knows you're guilty, you know you're guilty, and He still gives you the invitation to get rid of your guilt. That's something. That, look here. I feel like some of you is dying on me right here, but that's right. That'd be Tanner me saying, now Tanner's not going to get mad at me. I'm saying, Tanner, I mean, you both know what you looked at. And you saying, yeah, and he said, okay. I still like to fellowship. You're just going to have to come on my terms. Right here I am. And as soon as you take that step, he said, there's mercy for that. I don't guess you've ever needed mercy. If you've ever needed it, you'd be more thankful for that verse. Amen. You could stand before Aaron all day long and confess everything you need and say, I need mercy. And Aaron will say, can't do a thing about it. I'll pray for you. But that ain't my high priest. Second, I'll tell you this. Listen to me. I'll tell you who you could ask about. You could ask the thief on the cross if he's true to his word. Amen. Couldn't he, John? Amen. Hey, Cameron, they could ask the old thief and said, will he do it? Say, I just asked him to remember me when he came to his kingdom. He said, I approached his throne. See, his throne that day looked like a cross. Amen. Listen to me. His throne looks differently in different places. John Fort looks like a whale. Amen. About everywhere he sits down, it's his throne. Is that right or not right? I wish y'all would help me a little more on that one. Say, how do you know? Bible says that the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Everywhere he goes, it's his. Amen. Then he said this. He said, not only could you obtain mercy, but you could find grace to help in the time of need. Now listen. We come to the house of God and sometimes we act like there ain't never nothing wrong. But God's put in His word that we've got a priest that you can find something, but you've got to be looking for it. I want to give you this. I'm done. I promise. Allison, get ready, Josh, Donnie, whoever's going to sing a song. I want you to listen to me. Stay tuned right here. Watch what your Bible says in the next chapter. I've never put these together until this week. It's always been together. I'm slow sometimes. Watch what your Bible says. In chapter 5, that's a continuation of chapter 4. He's not stopped talking about the high priest. He's still talking about the high priest. So the first thing I find is mercy for the guilty. Then I find grace for the needy. But then watch what he says in verse number 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? Watch it. Don't stop there. And on them that are out of the way. I thought, man alive,
What a Savior that I got, that He's got compassion when I'm unworthy. And I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I had the thief over here. He's somebody who's looking for mercy and he finds it. Syrophoenician woman, she's somebody who's looking for grace and she finds it. But I was wanting to find somebody who was out of the way and unworthy. And the Lord had compassion on him. And I found him. And you know him. Everybody in this church knows him well. We don't know his name. We just call him the prodigal son. That's all we say about him. And you know what the Bible specifically says about him when he's out of the way and he comes back? It says when his father saw him far off, it says next specifically, he had compassion. And it ran. Boy, what a picture. You don't know what it looks like. The reason that our high priest is better than Aaron is, oh, Aaron, he had to stay back in the confines of where he was. And you could come to him. You could only get so close. And us Gentiles, we couldn't even get that close. We out in the outer court. We just hoping to get a glimpse. But honey, whenever they seen and the old prodigal wasted his substance with riotous living, that means terrible. Brother said that he wasted it with harlots. I'd say he knew. Y'all guess that's right? Terrible. But when he came back home, boy, that high priest, that great high priest of his own house, the picture of the Father. Well, I love it. He runs and you know what the word compassion means, Carrie? This is a blessing. You know what it means? It means with suffering. While the prodigal was out suffering, you know who else was suffering? Father was too. I'm persuaded to believe when we're in the house of God and these people of God that's out of the way, it produces suffering. But if you'll just come to yourself and come to God, He'll run to you and have compassion. And didn't ask him to change clothes. I'll tell you what it looked like today, Kelsey. He didn't ask him to get rid of his sleeve tattoos. Didn't ask him to take out his earrings. Oh, I wish I had more help on that. That's what it looked like. Is that right? Oh, yes. He didn't ask him to get rid of all the hog slop from him. He didn't ask him to get rid of everything that he was. Matter of fact, I never do find where the Lord, the Father in that instance, asked him if he was going to do it again. I don't find that question. He just ran, had compassion, wrapped him up, and look here, I'm done. I promise you, I'm trying to be. But how precious you think it must have been to that boy when that father puts them arms around him, Cohen. And he knows how bad he stinks and he ain't got no shoes on. And he's made a mockery out of his dad and he's ruined his name and he's lost his inheritance. But when he gets there, his dad just pulls him close. And the first tender touch that he's felt since he left home was the lips of his dad pressed through the filth of the world, made contact on him. What do you reckon that scene looked like? What I'm saying is this. If that boy had only remembered how good his dad was, he'd have came home long before that. And if you only could really see tonight how great a high priest we'd have, whatever condition you're in, you wouldn't remain there any longer. Lost or saved, you would shed it and you'd come to Christ. Let's stand to our feet. I've cleared my heart. I don't know your heart tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how tonight finds you. I just know this. I'd sure enough hate if I was where you're standing or where I'm standing to be overdrawn in my checking account and have access to all of Fort Knox. And I'd sure hate to be struggling tonight, needing some help with sin, for being lost, knowing I have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.